through the remainder of the chapter. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Verse number 13 asks a question. Who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? This evening, we're being asked, I believe, by the Lord to consider that question. Who is a wise man? Who is a wise person? I told the church when we brought this on a Wednesday night a week or two back that to answer that question, who is a wise man, I think we must first ask the question, what is wisdom? Before you can define what a wise person is or claim to be a wise person yourself, you need to consider what is wisdom. What is the measurement that makes a person a wise person? What is wisdom? How would you define that? What definition would you give to wisdom? Now in the scriptures, knowledge and wisdom are two different things. Amen. Knowledge is the knowing, the possessing of facts or truth. But wisdom has to do with what we do with those. Amen. What effect those have upon us. How they direct us or how we use those for the honor and glory of the Lord. It has been said, you can have knowledge without wisdom, but you cannot have wisdom without knowledge. Amen. Amen. So in defining what is wisdom, wisdom really needs to be seen as having two parts to it. It has to have the basis of knowledge, understanding, and then what to do with those facts. Wisdom includes knowledge and discernment, proper action, proper effect of the truth upon us. And in this 13th verse, you see that principle taught because when it asks who is a wise man, he adds an endued with knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge and the effect of that knowledge and the decisions connected with that knowledge and our decisions. Correct thinking. But you can't have wisdom without knowledge being a part. So a wise man must also be endued with knowledge. Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 7, paraphrasing it, he said this, you show me a man who hears or who knows my word and who does it. Who knows, but then does properly with it. You know what Jesus Christ called that kind of an individual? Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 7, he who hears or knows my word and does it, he is a wise man. He is a wise man. So wisdom is a knowing, a having of the facts or truth, and then the proper use of those, proper decisions, the proper effect of that knowledge upon us. And I want you to go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Verse 23 and 24. Now listen to the word of God here from the prophet Jeremiah, as he tells us what the Lord says. 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Notice this 24th verse now. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Don't glory in your belief you have wisdom. Don't glory in your wisdom, your knowledge, your wealth. If you're going to glory, the only thing we can really glory in is that we know God. That we know Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have a knowledge of God, a proper knowledge of God, and that that knowledge is always increasing as we study Scripture and grow in grace and in knowledge. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, knows that I am the Lord. I exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. I delight in these things. Take your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 9 also. Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of God is where wisdom begins. And knowledge, you look at this 10th verse, you could say now it's speaking of knowledge of the holy things, or holy things. But probably the context would lay before us here that he's talking about knowledge of the Holy One. Knowledge of God, that's where understanding is found. Go back to chapter 2 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read verse 1 through 6 here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I believe the best definition for wisdom, the biblical definition for wisdom, wisdom is the knowledge of God that brings about the fear of God. The knowledge, the knowing of God, and the ever-increasing knowledge and understanding of God, which brings about a fear and a reverence. When you're getting comfortable with God, or you think you're knowing God better, and that brings about a disrespect or a poor attitude towards Him, or you begin to think of Him as the good guy upstairs or the big man upstairs, you're not growing in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God and the increasing of the knowledge of God brings about a greater reverence, a greater fear. Yes, even we who are of grace are under the commandment to fear God. And the indictment that there is no fear of God before their eyes, I'm afraid, can be said about many Baptists. Wisdom is the knowledge of God and the fear of God. The fear of God is what comes as a result of the knowledge. It's what we do with what we learn about God. Knowledge brings about a greater reverence and a greater fear and a greater respect for God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 tells us that fearing God is the whole duty of man. Every man. Psalms 110. Excuse me, 111. Psalms 111. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. So who is a wise man? Well, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the knowledge of God coupled with or that produces the fear of God. That's a wise person. That's somebody who possesses wisdom, who knows God, has the knowledge of God, and is in fact ever growing in their knowledge and understanding of God, and that producing within them a fear and a reverence for God. Amen. If you have no knowledge of God, or you're not growing in the knowledge of God, and you have no reverence or no fear for God, don't ever claim wisdom. Right. Don't ever claim it. I don't call people fools. I was raised all my life that was a bad word. Don't ever call people fools. But if you don't have a knowledge of God and a relationship with God, and that relationship does not produce a fear and a reverence for God, then don't claim to be wise. Just claim to be a fool. Because that's what you are, according to Scripture. So, wisdom is the knowledge of and the fear of God. Now, back in our text from James chapter 3, we repeat the question in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? What two words finish the question? Among you. Among you. Who is a wise man who also is endued with knowledge, who knows God, has relationship with God, and is growing in their knowledge of God, and as a result of that, fear God and reverence God more. Who among us? Now, many would jump to the conclusion, well, that's everybody. Is it really? Do you have knowledge of God? Understanding of God? Do you study God? Do you look in the Scriptures and see God and learn more and more about God every time you look into the pages of this book? And as you grow in the knowledge of God, is your fear and reverence for God growing? That's a question you can only answer for yourself. And I can answer for myself. Who is a wise person? Is everybody sitting in this sanctuary tonight possessors of wisdom? Well, when he asked the question, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you, those Jews that were scattered about, as he asked us tonight, who is a wise person endued with knowledge among us, among this congregation, what's the answer? Well, he goes from asking the question, who is wise among us and endued with knowledge, by then stating, the wise person, the wise man, the wise woman, the wise person who is wise and endued with knowledge, after giving the question, says, let them demonstrate it. Don't jump to the conclusion and say he wants a verbal answer. The question is followed by the statement, who is wise among us tonight? Who among this great crowd is wise, possessing a knowledge of God that brings about a fear and a reverence for God? Who among us is a wise person? Well, let us prove it. Not by our jumping up to say, it's me. But he says, let him show out of a good conversation. The word conversation there means behavior, conduct, or manner of life. Who among us is wise? Then let that individual prove it by their conversation, by their behavior, by their manner of life. Anybody can jump up and say, I'm a wise person. We seem to be consumed in our society and in our country with self. There's no shortage of people who will jump up and say, oh, wisdom, that's me. I know all the questions. I have all the answers. But here he says, a wise man is one who is going to show it out of a good conversation. Go over just probably a page or two in most Bibles to 1 Peter. Verse 15 and 16 of chapter 1. But as he, as God, as the Lord, which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The word conversation in verse number 15 is the same word over there in James. Let the wise person, the one who knows God and who fears God, who claims, declares to have wisdom, let him prove it by a good behavior, by a good conduct, by a good manner of life. And Peter puts it in, as God who is holy has called us, as the Lord who is holy has called us, then let us also be holy. Let our conversation, our conduct, our behavior, our manner of life be holy. Holiness and separation and godliness are despised in the world today and despised by many who call themselves Baptists. It's seen as foolishness. No need to preach those things today. These are modern times. Well, God's standard of wisdom has not changed because these are modern times. A wise person knows God, and a wise person fears and reverences God and proves their wisdom by their godly, holy conversation, conduct, behavior. We got too many people claiming to be saved and claiming to possess wisdom who are not living like children of wisdom. They don't show by their life that they know God. They don't show by their life that they have any reverence or any fear of God. Over in 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come. Be reminded about that tonight. There's no possibility it won't. There's been no change of plans. There'll be no change of plans. Christ is not late. God is not asleep. God has not forgotten His promises. God has promised His Son would come again. God knows the exact day. God knows the exact hour. He will come again. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Notice verse 11. Seeing then that all these things, all these temporal things, look, they're going to be dissolved. They're not what's lasting. They're not what is eternal. They're not worth anything. But seeing that all these temporal things will be dissolved, even the planets and the earth, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy, there's that word again, conversation and godliness. Amen. Same word, no change. Considering the Lord is coming, and the power that He's going to demonstrate and the judgment that's going to fall. Don't we need to see what manner of people we ought to be? And if we're people of wisdom, the manner of people we ought to be are people of holy conversation and godliness. Now back there in James 3, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among us? Let them show, let them evidence, let them give proof of that wisdom and possessing of wisdom by their good conversation. Then it goes on to say there, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let the wise person show their wisdom by their conversation, by their conduct, and let them show or demonstrate their conduct by their works. I see this as a kind of a stepping down. Who's wise? Who knows God? Who fears Him and reverences Him? Let them prove it by their good, holy godliness and conversation. And a person's godliness and conversation is made up of their works. Our conduct, our conversation, our behavior, I guess you could say, is the big picture. But our conduct, our conversation, our manner of life is made up of the works that we do. And he emphasizes again, who is wise and endued with knowledge among us? Let them demonstrate it out of a good conversation. Let them demonstrate a good conversation by their individual works. The little pieces of the puzzle that make up our conduct, our manner of life. In verse 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above. Let's describe the wisdom of the world. Now he's describing the wisdom of God, the wisdom that is from above. Is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Those who claim wisdom, let them prove it by their conduct. Let them prove their conduct by their works, by their efforts. Then he describes some of the works, the individual efforts of the wise person. And all of these words that he uses are looked down upon, are despised by the world. This wisdom we're talking about is from above. It's foreign to the world, and the world hates it. And the works of this chaste conversation, this good behavior, this godliness, this holiness, that is a demonstration of wisdom, is described with words like meekness. Meekness is weakness. The world hates meekness. You're a wimp. You're a sissy. You got no backbone. You're not worth anything if you're meek. But then, in verse number 17, the wisdom that is from above, and I believe the works that we do that are a part of our conversation conduct that evidence our wisdom, these works will be able to be described as pure. Are your works, my works, pure? Are those individual things that make up our conduct, our behavior, our manner of life, are they all pure? Do we even think of purity? Peaceable. Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make for peace. The works of a wise person are described here by these words. And these are all the words that the world rejects. And the world believes are signs of ignorance, weakness. In our Baptist churches and amongst us as Baptists, if we're going to claim to be wise people, possess wisdom that is from above, then our conduct should be a full display of our wisdom. Amen. And the individual works that make up our conduct should be able to be described by these words. Right. To God's men, we claim to be wise. Are we meek? Are we pure, peaceable, gentle? Easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Church folks, as you display whether or not you have the wisdom that is from above, do these things describe your behavior, your conduct in the world, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? As our lives are on full display, and they either declare we're fools or we're wise. Is our conduct a testimony to wisdom? Right. Are the works that make up our conduct, do they give testimony that we possess wisdom? It's not about claiming, but it's about proving wisdom by works, by effort, by our actions. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, without partiality and hypocrisy. Does that describe the the average church member in our Baptist churches? Who is a wise man? Who is endued with knowledge among us? Here tonight, who knows God, has a knowledge of God, is ever increasing in their knowledge and of understanding of God, and that resulting in a fear and a reverence? Can we declare we're wise by that definition of knowing God and fearing Him and reverencing Him? We need wisdom. We need wisdom amongst God's people. We need wisdom in our Baptist churches. We need a knowledge of God. And a knowledge of God will bring about fear and reverence. Wisdom is knowledge. Knowledge producing right actions, right decisions, right choices, right use of what we know. We need it more than ever in these days. Wisdom that is from above. Folks, we need to fear God. I don't apologize for preaching that. You don't like that? You can go home and you can get up in front of your churches and say, Brother Titus preached a bunch of heresy. He preached about how we ought to be afraid of God. We ain't supposed to be afraid of God and grace. Show me that in the Bible. If it's the whole duty of man, it's our duty, our responsibility. It's taught over and over again, not to the world and not to Israel or to the lost, but we are taught to fear and to reverence God. We need to fear God, and we need to live godly, holy lives and not be afraid or fear the world's ridicule or the world's mocking or the world's persecution. Jesus Christ said, don't fear the one who can destroy your body. Fear the one who can destroy your body and your soul. Fear God. We need a fear of God in our churches, a fear of God in the people of God. People to just stop talking about how God is love and how wise they are. We need people who will start proving their wisdom by living godly, holy lives because they fear God. They know the terror of the Lord, and it has affected them in their conduct. It's not the world we're to be afraid of. It's God we're to be afraid of. We need to fear God, behave ourselves as we should in our churches, and not fear being overlooked, and not fear not being the center of attention, not fear not getting our way. We need to come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the churches represented here, with a fear and a reverence for God. Amen. And if no one noticed, use you in any other way, that's all right.
Amen.
Don't fear that. Fear God. Fear displeasing Him. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1 says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of the Lord. Watch your step. Behave yourself. Conduct yourself. As a child of God, conduct yourself as a person possessing wisdom. Don't conduct yourself in such a way as to say, I'm a fool and I want everybody to know. Watch your foot. That means don't stick it in your mouth when you come to the house of the Lord. Exhibit some wisdom. Paul told Timothy, I wrote these things so that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
We are way too comfortable with the gathering together of the church. We're way too comfortable in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And I think fear and reverence for God is one of the last things that enters into most Baptist people's minds.
Right.
I stand in the pulpit with fear and trembling. And I sit in the pew as a member of Faith Baptist Church and sing with the congregation with fear and trembling. Because God is awesome. And the more I know about God, the more I learn about God, the more awesome He gets. And the more great He becomes. And the more in reverence and fear I am of Him. We need to fear God, not the times we're living in. These are terrible times. Fearful times, overwhelming times. But I tell you what the cure is. Fear for the times we're living in will disappear if we have a fear and a reverence for God, because He's the God of the times. Amen. There's nothing happening He isn't in control of. Amen. The world's not out of control. The world's still under the control of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is restraining this earth from getting out of control. So we don't have to fear the times. Let's fear God. Reverence God who is in control of the times. Folks, we're living in a time when we're going to be destroyed just by, look what we're facing. But in Isaiah chapter 40, I've been stuck there a lot lately. As Isaiah gave prophecy concerning Israel's going into captivity and they're paying for their sins, he said, you're going to pay for your sins double. And when you come out of that time of captivity, Isaiah was told in Isaiah chapter 40, comfort the people, comfort the people, comfort the people. And you know how He comforted the people as you go over later on in Isaiah chapter 40? The prophet said to Israel, behold your God. No matter what we're going through, if we'll behold our God, fear and reverence Him, the great I am. We'll get our eyes on God and trust in Him. Folks, we have nothing to fear. Nothing can overtake us. We who are God's called men, we need to fear God, not people. We need to fear God. And Jeremiah said, don't be afraid of their faces. That's a great challenge. Only a preacher knows what I'm talking about. Standing up, preaching the Word of God, and looking out at all those lovely, smiley faces that are not always lovely, smiley faces. It's easy to get afraid. It's easy to tone it down. It's easy not to deliver the message God gave you. It's easy to want to soften it or stop being so negative. Let's give them something positive. Jeremiah taught us, don't be afraid of their faces. What should we be afraid of? God. Amen. We're His servants. We're His messengers. The only message we have to deliver is His message. I don't have the right to ever deliver my message. I don't ever have the right to deliver the message I want. I don't have the right to deliver the message I think they really need, because I know how goofed up they are. My only message is the message God gives me for the people at that time. And I have to overcome fear. All men have to overcome fear and let the fear of God rule. We don't need to fear Satan. We need to fear God. His demons, His works. On and on the list could go. We need wisdom. We need the knowledge of God that produces the fear of God and the reverence of God. And a wisdom that will be demonstrated by our godliness, our holiness, our separation, our good conduct, which is demonstrated by our more particular works. And in all that we do, we need to fear and reverence God. And no one else is worthy or deserving of our fear and reverence. But they're all out there and they're crying. They want us to be afraid of them. Let's fear and reverence God. So this message began with the question, who is the wise man? Who is it that knows God and consequently fears God and reverences God? Where is the wise one amongst us? Are you? Am I? Which one of us? How many of us are wise? How many of us demonstrated by our conduct, our behavior? Our testimony shines out of wisdom. Our individual works are qualified by these statements instead of the negative statements they're sometimes known by. Do we fear God and reverence God? None other. want to be pleasing to Him? Began with, who is the wise man? We'll close with the question in one passage of Scripture, where is the wise man? Where is he? Where is she? Don't want to get all mushy here, but the world needs wisdom demonstrated as we see it in this message. Our churches need wisdom. God's people need to be people of wisdom. Where is the wise man? Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There you find the word grace and fear in the same verse. We, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.